roll call.
Jim Martinez, Council.
Greg Jones.
Norm McLennan.
Tim Fleming.
Kathy Yagan.
And Ken Molnix is here.
Douglas Wood.
At this time, I'd like to ask each organization to open their meeting.
Okay, for the Planning Commission, joint session with the City Council workshop. Have roll call, please.
Norm McLennan.
Tim Fleming.
Gloria Fleming.
And Douglas Wood.
That's it, thank you.
Public Works?
Not here.
I'm the only one here.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Power, right here.
Russ Smith.
Linda Johnston.
Is that a quorum?
Got three.
Three. Yeah. No, no.
Three out of eight.
We can still go through the business.
That's here.
Okay, thank you very much.
You have three. Jim, where are you on?
I'm on the Public Works.
Where are you on?
Both Public Works.
And what are you two on back there?
Public Works.
Well, that's four out of seven.
Four out of seven,
okay.
Yeah. So I think we have quorums of all three bodies, not the voting tonight, but just that's for the record, just so you know, this is being taped like always, but it's right up here, so if you'd speak, enunciate nicely, and when you talk, if you're going to go on to a long speech, probably get your name in there, because otherwise no one's going to know it's you. But yes, we do have quorums of all three groups.
Good. All right.
And then maybe, Mayor, a little on you, just so we know, because you have some staff that's here from the county and other things. Maybe everyone in the room introduce themselves.
Exactly. So if we could start on this side, then everybody tell us who you are.
Scott Perkins, Public Works Manager.
Gary Tingey, High Lakes Realty.
And he's on our LED, Lapine Economic Development.
Thank you.
Peter Russell, Deschutes County Transportation Planner.
I'm Cindy Vega, I'm with the Department of Human Services.
Patty.
I'm Patty Morgan, Administrative Assistant.
Ashley Williams, Utility Building Specialist.
Deborah McMahon, Planner.
Matt Kittleson, Kittleson Associates, Consultants working on the Transportation System Plan.
Rick Allen, City Manager.
Carrie Myers from the Eagle in the Chamber.
I think that's it. And if at this time, Doug, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight to this pretty auspicious occasion, a review of the Lapine Transportation Plan. I would encourage you to listen closely and ask questions.
I'll turn it right over here to Matt. What the reason we got all three groups out and in here tonight, want to make sure that you all are up to speed. They've given some updates. They've come to the Public Works Committee and different folks. There was a town hall. Did a town hall something a few months ago? This is a requirement, right, Deb, for part of our, to get our comp plan totally approved. It is, every city has to have one of these. ODOT funded it. It was about $100,000?
$90,000.
And so this was funded by the state of Oregon. And it takes about a year, and we're now wrapping this up. About the end of September, it's to be done. So tonight is kind of, this is things winding down. In other words, the ability to change things is now getting much narrower. And you know, it's important that you listen. Ken, the mayor, had asked me, says, well, gosh, we don't have anything else on the agenda tonight. And I did that on purpose. You may be done in 15 minutes, but I'll be able to go away and say you had the chance. These things are important. And it's typical of a lot of rules and laws we pass, no more than take the sign ordinance. The Planning Commission can spend a year building the sign ordinance. It's passed, and no more than a week later, you got 10 business owners in mad over what's in the sign ordinance. This is the same type of document a little bit. So I wanted to make sure you have time to listen, ask questions, understand what the heck this thing is. Because it does become kind of a management template for new business, how we build, how we design, what goes on here. It costs money for private industry if they're along it. It costs money for the city because we got to build to it. But it's also, it's a 20-year plan. How do we move traffic in and around? in a community. And these guys are good at it. They know. They've done a good job. There's been a lot of meetings with all the players. Since I've been back this time, I've went down and met with Matt two or three times. And I think that, and they've changed some things that we've talked about, added things. But the state's been there. Others have been there. They've been out here, took information from you. So we'll find out what this thing's got in it. But don't be afraid. And the mayor will try to manage it with the mayor. But you know, this is a place to ask questions. As we work our way through this, is that, because I don't know how you plan on doing it, but he'll tell you kind of step by step. So is everyone okay to move forward?
Mm-hmm. I'd just like to say, Rick, that we're going to have sort of an open session here, and if you've got questions, please feel free to speak up, raise your hand, and or whatever. I kind of think it's going to be a while, so make them specific and ask them.
And ultimately, it comes back to the city council. At some point, we actually with formally adopt.
Yeah, so just the next steps as we go through is, by the end of September, we want to, from the contracting perspective, have things adopted. Between now and then, we'll need to do a 35-day notice through DLCD, which is kind of the public commenting period. So that has to happen between now and then. So we're trying to get a document ready that's ready for that type of submission, but there's still that commenting period. So we definitely, as Rick was saying, we're kind of winding down, but we're not, this is not you guys adopting it. There's still commenting time, and let's make sure that we start getting everyone on the same page as we get ready to adopt this by the end of September.
Okay. Will there be a timeline explaining the deadlines?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we'll walk through that a little bit. And it's pretty high level, so that's the gist of it, is that we have this, which really we want to adopt the end of September for contracting purposes, but between now and then we need to just fit a 35-day commenting period in the middle. That's really, we could adopt it from we could do it September 30th for all, you know, whatever day that is. There's no specific time that between now and then that has to happen. We just have to allow that public commenting period for legal reasons.
And the county just completed theirs, right? One of these, or is it done?
We did ours about 2 years ago. Okay. And what Matt's referring to is you've got to give DLCD 35 days notice for your first evidentiary hearing. So you probably start with a planning commission first, but you do a joint session. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well let's get started. So Matt, there you go.
So I'll point out Peter again in the back here, since Peter needs to be pointed out. Peter, we've been working really close with the county, since county is obviously very much involved in the transportation system in Lapine, so they've been providing oversight throughout about what they know about the system and what works from their perspective, and providing inputs. That's been really helpful, and they've been a really willing participant in that. So my name is Matt Kittleson. I'm with Kittleson Associates. We've been, a number of us have been working on this plan for a little over a year now. And as the mayor was saying, please feel free to stop me as I'm going through this. I know a lot of you have seen bits and pieces of this throughout, but don't wait till the end. Just stop me and we'll answer questions as we go through here. So the intent today is to get everyone up to speed with what we're doing with this plan. And it's an exciting plan. From our perspective, because it's the first one that you guys have had. So there's been a lot, there's obviously roads here. It's not like we're working with a blank system, but we're creating a new vision for what this system ultimately becomes as Lapine creates new development in the future, and there's new urban type of improvements that happen within the city. So we'll give a little bit of overview here in terms of who was involved with this process up to date. What is a transportation system plan? Why do we need one? What did we find, and how did that lead us to different specific plans and projects that are included in the plan, and then what other things that besides that Lapine needs to consider going forward. So people that have been involved is Rick, obviously through the city. Devin Hearing has been involved through ODOT. Deborah here has been helping the city from the planning perspective, and then a number of people, including Peter, at the county and the Public Works Committee here in Lapine has been providing a lot of oversight and just input along the way, which has been extremely helpful, and we're happy to have them back here again today. DLCD is another stakeholder. Karen Sawarski is a local representative here, and then a number of people on our own staff. So what is a transportation system plan? Well, there's a number of legal requirements on why you need to have one. It's part of your comprehensive plan. But really what the transportation system plan is a vision for the system in Lapine. And that includes vehicles, it includes pedestrians, it includes bicycles, it includes transit, all sorts of things. How do people get around, not just locally, but what are the regional connections within Lapine? It's not a recreational plan, so there's a parks plan that would go with how you get people to recreational opportunities. This is really how do people get around for their daily needs? How do people get to work? How do people get to school? Those kind of things. That's what we're trying to address. So typically it's what we'll call a collector and arterial road is what we try to plan for. In Lapine, it's hard to really distinguish because all the roads serve really important purposes. So what we typically leave out is local streets, residential streets, those kind of things. And we're not necessarily planning specifically for them, but those are definitely an integral part of the system here in Lapine. So designating roads appropriately is a big part of this because roads previously were designated through the county's eyes, which didn't have the same purpose and perspective that you guys are trying to do with creating a city. So just creating that new vision has been really important for what we're trying to do. So any questions on the vision, what we're trying to accomplish? So we've done a number of analyses to this point. We started by really just inventorying the transportation system, finding what's out there today, making sure that we're all starting from kind of a common understanding. Then doing an analysis of how the system's working and then how we expect the system to work in the future based on different projections and things that we can do. And with that, we have a couple of key findings. Really today, the major finding is that it works okay. We're not having major breakdowns. There's obviously things on the highway that are being addressed. First Street and Reed is a great example of where there's a need with an access point to US 97. But when you consider things off the highway, looking at the local system, there's not things where people are experiencing extreme amounts of congestion where we want to go in and come up with a specific plan to address it. That said, as we get into the future, there's different logistical issues and really how do we set this vision for the transportation system where there's things that we want to address, and that's the kind of stuff that we'll get into. We also looked at crashes. We looked at from a, you know, really a safety perspective. How's the system operating? Not just can people get around, but can they get there safely? What we found, which is probably not a surprise, is that a lot of crashes happen on US 97 and Huntington Road, really where you see a lot of your traffic. So focusing any safety improvements important on those corridors. We also found, which again, sometimes we document these things and you probably could come up with it, is that snow and ice had a big effect. Obviously that's something in Lapine, and that type of finding has worked its way into some of the different road cross-sections that we have, being able to account for the fact that we get a lot more snow here than even other places in Central Oregon. Access is another one that came up. So when we talk about access, it's really how are these access locations to different businesses or roads spaced along US 97 or even other roads. And particularly the north part of US 97, there's a number of really closely spaced access points that can cause problems from operational or even a safety perspective because you have a lot of vehicles potentially jumping out at different points in time. The one that's probably the most obvious is the east side of the highway on the north part of town in the Wickiup area. There's just a number of access points there. A lot of it's been addressed south of that with some frontage road system, but there's still some that's remaining, so that's something that we talked about. Pedestrian and bicycle connections are limited. They just put in the bicycle lanes through downtown, which I think was a great improvement that people really appreciated. But other than that, the bicycle facilities that are dedicated to people getting around are limited. And then the pedestrian facilities are also limited, particularly near the schools, which is something that hopefully is also being addressed near term as part of some of the improvements that are going on. But still a priority going forward is making sure that we account for those type of users as well. And then another key finding is just the long-term maintenance and operation of the system. Who's doing it? How's it? How does it work when improvements are made? Is it city? Is it county? Who maintains what ultimately gets improved? And that's something that I don't think we will necessarily have a great answer for in this plan, but it's something that we really need to identify going forward as a priority to make sure that that logistically works in terms of how the city and county operate together. So generalizing these together and a few other ones that have popped up that we didn't specifically count for, it's really looking at this connectivity of the system. How do we connect everything together? How do we make sure that people can get east, west, north, south in a continuous, easy way that it's efficient for people, and it's particularly across the highway. The highway is a real lifeline for Lapine, getting people in and out of town, but it's also a real barrier for people in Lapine. It acts almost like a river where you have to cross the highway from a vehicle standpoint or pedestrian standpoint. It's a real barrier, so making sure we have adequate connections across the highway is important. Safety is always important when you're talking about transportation. Roadway surfaces, whether it's gravel, asphalt, how does that maintain, how does that affect the maintenance of the system or just the usability of the system? Roadway ownership we talked about, and then roadway classification, which I alluded to previously, is how do we classify these roads in a way that makes sense for the community so that when improvements happen, they happen in a way that makes sense for the vision of how the system works. And then ultimately we have some transportation standards and policies which the city doesn't have in place right now related to impact evaluation, what the standards are for the intersections and roads, how do we evaluate the system to make sure that it's working okay for Lapine, and what are the policies related to even access spacing, things like that, to make sure that as development comes in, the development happens in a way that is consistent with that vision for Lapine. So this map is on the back wall. It's one that we've talked about before, but I'll go over it briefly again, just in general terms. This is a need map, one that we try to get everything down on a piece of paper, on a map to show people where we're finding things, and this is something we got feedback on throughout the way as we've gone through it. So connections north-south is a big one. There's obviously two parts of Lapine. You have the Wickiup area and then the downtown area of Lapine. How do you connect those together, not just from a vehicle standpoint, but from a bicycle pedestrian standpoint? So we identified some type of need for providing a connection north-south for bicycles, and then we've talked a lot about an east side, almost Huntington Road, I'll call it, a connection between the two, particularly as this as industrial area develops and as the potential for different uses up here occurs, how do we connect these people so they don't have to use the highway as their local route? There's not a specific plan on how to do that. We have the line here showing a connection on, Darlene Way here. That's not necessarily the way to do it. It's an option. It's something that could be considered. Maybe it's a road here. Maybe it's a totally new road. That's something that can be determined in the future as it's necessary. But we want to make sure that this plan, being a 20-year plan, same the vision that as people talk about the system, we have a vision for where we're going. Not even if we're not going to build in the next 5 years, let's make sure that we're thinking these things through. Other key findings, as I was saying, is just getting people across the highway from a vehicle standpoint, from a pedestrian standpoint, getting people to and from the industrial area. That's a big part of what Lapine's trying to do right now, and making sure the transportation system supports that is important, not just from safety, but from an economic perspective, making that a viable part of the city. And we try to highlight really the schools up here because that's an important part of what the transportation system is serving also, is getting people safely to and from those schools, particularly because those are the people who are most vulnerable, the students that are walking, things like that. Let me stop here. I glossed over some, but is there something that you guys know of that we've missed so far? Is there a glaring issue within Lapine that we haven't been accounted for? Or comments about stuff that I've talked about so far? Okay, I'll keep going. So the document itself, this is really an outline of how we've put things together. We've tried to make it as readable as possible for people. Sometimes you get plans that are just knee-deep and, well, we did this, and then we did this, and then this happened, and then we did this, and this was the outcome. What we've tried to do is minimize to just what we're required from state law, things like that, how we got to places. But at the end of the day, what's in the plan is what do we do about it? So that when someone opens up the plan, whether it be a city council person, a public works member, or someone just from the general public, and they say, what are we trying to do with the transportation system here? It's easy for them to find that information. So that's what we're calling volume one, which is the meat of the information. So we have the executive summary up front, which gives a really the high level overview. But if you want to find out what's going to happen here or there, what's the vision for what we're trying to do in this part of the system. This will help tell you what that is, define some of the policies, things like that. We've also tried, we've included what we call a transportation planning toolbox. And what that is there's a whole lot of issues that can come up from an intersection standpoint, a pedestrian crossing standpoint. And if I were to talk to people in my office, we'd say, oh, we have a pedestrian crossing issue. Here's some things that you can do. And oftentimes people have to call people like us to come up with those type of solutions. But what we've tried to include is, it's, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 pages of just different options. So if you have a pedestrian crossing issue, here's some things to at least think about and figure out what works for your community so that you can have some ideas about what works before someone comes in and tells you what the right answer is. You can start thinking about how things work, and there's probably more stuff in there than you'd ever want to do, but at least provides some background and at least provides a menu of things that could happen so that you guys are armed with a little bit of information as opposed to just wondering what the solution could be. And then when I was talking about all that, how we got here and how the information all works together, that's what we put in volume 2 so that if people want it, it's there. We have a lot more information about some of the background information, but we're trying not to make that the focus of what we're talking about with the plan. I like it. I'll probably read volume 2, but I hope that you guys don't read it because it's kind of boring. So that's how we're trying to organize it. We've included goals in the plan. These are things we talked about up front, and we tried to keep it simple with 4 goals, and I'll just go through them real quick. Provide a safe, convenient, accessible system to support the growth and livability of Lapine. Provide a transportation system that incorporates a range of transportation options for all modes of travel. Optimize the investment in the existing transportation system. That really means let's not throw away what we have, but let's try to make what we have work to try to be as efficient as we can with the resources that we have. And then provide a transportation system that supports the economic viability of Lapine and regionally throughout Central Oregon. So this guided us as we're putting things together, and the intent is that as decisions are made in the future, these are the goals that will help guide the decisions that we don't know that we're going to make yet, and as we make those going forward. So I'll get into some of the more of the details now. We're kind of getting through the high level stuff. I'll try to stop a lot to make sure if we have any questions. I'll ask you guys again if there's anything I've gone over that you have questions about or comments about, or something I can explain further. Okay, so I've talked a little bit about functional classification and how we define these roads in Lapine. And I alluded to the fact that the roads aren't new, right, and they've been around for a while, and from the county's perspective, they've been classified different things. So the county obviously looks at this from a much broader perspective. They're looking at regional connections. So the arterial is the highest level of road from the local system, where a highway is a different beast altogether. So when we talk about US 97, that's an ODOT facility that Lapine has influence on within its community, but ultimately ODOT's responsible for the classification of that. So that's not something that we're addressing here. So with the way the county addressed the roads, the only arterial within Lapine was Burgess Road. Huntington was a collector, which I think from Lapine's perspective is definitely an arterial. And arterial is really, we define that as something that gets people places in layman's terms. How do we get people somewhere efficiently? It emphasizes mobility over access. So that's kind of the spectrum. If you were to make a chart like this, arterial emphasizes mobility, a local street emphasizes access, meaning local streets trying to get people on and off of it and serve uses nearby. And arterial does that, but it just does it less to that degree. So you'll see arterials up at the top here, and then we get down to local streets. So this is something that's a big part of the plan, and something that is new for Lapine is defining a system that works well for what the city's trying to do. So this is something that we worked with Rick on a lot in the last couple weeks, is tweaking this to make sure that this really fits the vision that we've. I think we presented this to Public Works before, at least a draft of where we are with this. Ultimately, we ended up with 2 different kinds of arterials, an arterial and a downtown arterial. Downtown is focused on really the Huntington, Morrison, First Street corridor to try to capture some of the different character, and we'll get into what we mean about these in a little bit more detail. We identified 3 collectors, just your general collector, a rural collector, which takes away some of the urban features typically associated with some of these roads for the more rural sections of Lapine. Specifically, it doesn't make sense to provide parking on somewhere like Huntington Road, for example. That's probably a bad example because it's not a collector, but Obviously, the character of that can change as it gets to a more rural section. And then a local street, which is just your typical neighborhood street. So what we define these so that as development happens, we build towards an ultimate design of a road. None of the roads in Lapine were built towards any of the standards that we're going to talk about because it wasn't, we didn't have the urban vision that we have for Lapine now quite in as focused way as we're talking about. So the intent of the classification system is to say, as things happen on these roads, what are we going for? What are we building for? So that we don't do this ad hoc where we're walking down the street and a development happens and then this is the vision, and then in 5 years maybe there's a different group of people with a different vision. Let's try to create a consistent vision so that we're working towards a common goal to provide a system that works. So I'll go through what we mean here in terms of these different cross sections. And the other thing that we've included in the plan, which is not explicitly called out here, is that we have sections, we have kind of the ideal condition, but the reality is you won't be able to build this everywhere because there's a building closer in one spot than the other. There's a utility that's really expensive to move that's not in the best interest of the city to spend a lot of money to move a utility. So we added what's called context variation, meaning use some common sense about what makes sense to build where, what's feasible to be built in different places. This is the ideal condition. But for example, we're talking about a landscape buffer here on a lot of these to separate sidewalks from the road. That's a real benefit for pedestrians to have a setback so that they're not walking right down the curb. It makes it more comfortable for pedestrians. It makes it typically a much safer situation for pedestrians. And often it can make it more comfortable for drivers to not have to worry about people close. You might not have, in a lot of cases, 16 feet to provide that. But if you can, let's do it. If you can't, maybe it's something that makes sense in that area to really make a road that works. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there's not a one-size-fits-all in these. We have an ideal condition, but common sense rules. So from an arterial perspective, as I mentioned, this is a focus on getting people places. So we provide a travel lane for folks. Bicycle and pedestrian lanes are something that you are required to build when you upgrade roads anymore. That's something that you're accommodating for all the users. And then, where possible, providing this left turn median and turn lane. So providing that median for people maybe continuously, maybe it's a series of left turn lanes down the road that lets people get out of the way safely to wait for an opportunity to turn as opposed to waiting in the lane of travel. So that's the vision for arterial. And these are stuff that I can send you guys so that you can look at them in a little bit more detail and go over. We have a website that I can post it to. I can also send it to you guys directly. We can coordinate with Rick on that so that in the next couple days or week here, you can go through and say, okay, I like these features, I don't like these features. Arterial, in the downtown area, we have a couple different ideas here on how this can ultimately work. This up here is really an example of the downtown arterial being close to a arterial itself, except for you're providing some bigger sidewalks over here. And the idea is that in the downtown area, the sidewalk serves much more than just the pedestrian walk-in, but it can also serve the local businesses to make an inviting area for people to get in and out of the businesses. So as different downtown areas develop more, you can provide that space that's available for people. The other vision here is maybe providing on-street parking so that you can get people to park downtown. So some combination of these are looking at them. So this is something that we still want to make sure we have the right vision for in terms of the downtown area, but emphasizing that it's a throughout, but it serves a different purpose. So if nothing less, it's just a vision besides the arterial. It's saying this is the downtown area. It's something that we want to treat a little bit differently. Collector focuses on providing that parking for people so that people can park and get out of their car and use the street for those type of purposes. From a rural setting, I'll do these in a little bit of logical order. Sorry, they're out of order in my slides here. Maybe we don't need to provide parking. That's what I was saying in the rural sections, and there's lots of areas of Lapine where you have long stretches of road where they might not be serving immediate urban functions. We can serve that without parking. That might not be a necessary part of the transportation system. And then another priority within Lapine, talking with the county and talking with Rick, is really that industrial area. how do we serve the industrial users? And obviously they have a much different purpose. So this is a much simpler cross-section. This is focused on getting trucks in and out, and there's obviously design considerations besides just the width that would be associated with that in terms of how they would turn, things like that. So just minimal facilities for bicycle pedestrians, and it's focused on the fact that we have an area that's made for trucks, and trucks are supposed to get in and out of it. And then from a local street, this is a much narrower section. Typically you have parking in front of your house, things like that, so that's what this is trying to account for. And then again, landscape strips are a nice feature, but something that you can talk about what right of way you have available in that particular section, as with all of these. So did anything jump out at people as something that we got right or we got wrong in terms of those, something we didn't think about that we should have thought about? Yeah.
All of the swales for the snow.
Yeah, so that's what these could...
The landscape
could double as.
Okay.
So we show a tree because it kind of calls it out, but really it's... You've got 8 feet, so you go up, it could go down. Okay. I know there's been some issues talking with Rick about people just filling in swales. That's something that happened, but that's not something that we can necessarily solve with the plan. That's more of a something else. But that's... And that's when we're talking about snow, that's... And I thank you for reminding me because I forgot to mention it. That's part of the idea with this landscape strip is if you're a pedestrian or you're someone trying to park and you don't provide something right here, you can just throw the snow right on top of the sidewalk and then you're back to where we started. So that landscape strip at least provides some type of snow storage, which is, I think, a benefit all over Central Oregon, but certainly in La Pine. Yeah.
We have serious lake districts here in February and March.
I'm sorry, what did you...
Lake districts,
oh yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we need drainage where all of these arterials and collectors and things uh-huh. are. Besides the snow, there's no place that the water goes. It just is a huge problem.
Right, and that's a good point too, and that's actually something that the county has brought up to us, being the owners of the roads for many years. George Culp in particular is someone that was aware of this, and we're showing right now, and this is something we're going to actually change. It's probably nobody would ever notice, but I think it's important to get the point, is that we're showing a little curb right here on the road. What the county's found building the roads, and this gets into something that is outside of what we're trying to do in terms of the cross sections, but curb prevents water from getting off the road. So what the county's found is that La Pine in particular, with how flat it is, it's hard to drain the road with curbs. You could, in theory, cut the curb, let the water get out, but the way it is, you'd have to cut it so many times that you might as well not even have a curb. So that's something that, when you actually get to designing your road, is something to talk about, but the county has suggested that curbs might be something that we want to consider not having in La Pine. And there's gives and takes with that, right? That's curbs provide a little bit of a haven for pedestrians walking down the road as opposed to being at the street level. But that's something that La Pine can talk about in terms of what the vision is, what works for you guys. It's not just, this is what we do in other places, this is what we're going to do here, but what works for the community.
You can have a reverse, what's it called, kind of a reverse curb, or just to give you a concrete edge, mm-hmm. or some term.
Peter, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, curbs sometimes act as mini dams, is the problem.
Yeah.
And
right.
You cause things to pond up under parking when you're traveling.
The problem, and the trouble when you look ahead, and this is, remember, what you're saying is, first of all, there are problems out there. This is really a plan moving forward. And so one is we have to, this plan doesn't address problems that are already there. This is a future. But when you don't have a curb, then that's where you have everyone driving into them park. So that's one thing about a curb. And you see most cities have curbs.
Yeah.
And that keeps you out here. As soon as you take that away and you take that tree out of there, car's going right in here.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're storing their camp trailer because we're putting them on 5,000, 6,000 foot lots now. You know, all that. Or there's three or four drivers in the family and no one gets their cars in the garage, of course. So then you put two in the driveway and you got to put two in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, you know, the county public works director and I have been talking about, is how do you, in the future, how do we create this but keep the cars out of there?
Yeah,
that's, you know, there's some different ways to do that.
Another thing I'll mention too is, I'll show you a map here, and that's the next thing we'll go through, is how we've actually classified the roads. So which of these cross sections would apply to which road in La Pine. And some of these cross sections we mentioned are wide, There, the ideal section would be a wide swath of land. Don't go out and say, well, this cross-section is 65 feet, and today there's only 40 feet, so they must be saying that the plan is that we need to take 25 feet of right-of-way from either side, or combination of two sides. That's not the point of the plan. It's to say, this is the ideal section, and then where we can, build something that makes sense, but the intent is not just to plow this through the existing city. It's make it work, here's what we're building towards, but we know we won't be able to do it everywhere. So I know that's sometimes a question that comes up is, are you intending to build this at my house right now?
Why don't you go back to the, I think the downtown, or the, just so that you know, because this is what you would see kind of downtown, so it's important to know. This is going to go down to Huntington and First, go a block or two each direction. Look out into the future. That's what your job is here. That's, you may have a left, like if you already have a left turn lane, you have turn left to go, you know, at First State over on Huntington. This one doesn't have a left turn lane. Now you may have the sidewalk out curb tight. That's, you don't really have that here, because a lot of times this landscaping is the curb, the street trees are actually in the concrete sidewalks like you see in cities with the grates.
Yeah.
When you get downtown, this doesn't show that. He ends up with so many different examples of this. That's
right, but and that's why
we need to have one that's probably sidewalks are curb tight.
Okay.
In the downtown.
Yep.
We
can show that.
And we can call this out too, and you know, just
you may or may not have a left turn lane here and there, but that's kind of what you would see downtown. You put your nice light posts in like you've got, and you would, this is a normal kind of streetscape type look. If that's what everybody, you know.
So this is a great idea. You know, let's get the vision right. So let's make sure we've thought about this and get it correct. Rick alluded to something that is a common pitfall of these is that, well, in this situation, we might want this, and in that situation, we might want that. We did this with other cities where there was 18 of these. Because they always, in this part of town, we want this, and then in that part of town, we want this, and then this road, it gets a little bit narrow, so we're going to have to do another one here. And that gets a little bit hard to manage. So the way we try to do it is to say, here's the ideal, but change it where it makes sense to change it. So we don't want to just say, well, we can change it, so let's not think about it. Let's make sure that the vision's right, but then at the same time, know that this can be modified as needed. When
and
actually
Matt,
is implemented.
You will have policy language that allows us to do that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's in. So, any comments on the downtown? Yeah.
Question.
Sure.
Are we just talking about Huntington Road and not 97? Do we have enough room on Huntington Road to park a car over here and over here too?
Well, not necessarily today, but it's one of those, as things happen in the future, what if someone were to rebuild a building or something like that, what if this stuff doesn't happen overnight where the city just, you know, as I was saying, just gets it, but what can we get in there today? What do we want in there if we had the option? So that's where it's a good example of where, you know, you're presented with an option, you should have thought about it beforehand so that you know what you're going for. And that's what we're doing now, is setting that, what are we going for when this option presents itself?
How wide is Huntington? 60 feet?
Are you thinking that 97 can also have parking on one side and on the other too?
So 97 is a different vision altogether. It's actually a separate plan that focused on the downtown area of Lapine that's already done. It's available on the Public Works website, actually, that has a vision for what is happening on 97. And what happened in the last year is actually a product of that, where it's saying, we have this big wide section of road we don't need through Lapine, let's allocate that a little bit better. So that's a good example of how these type of cross sections that we're showing here can be implemented. Let's do something different with this road. What do we want here? Here's some options in terms of what we can do.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, can I go back to did you have a cross section of industrial?
Yep. Industrial, here you go.
You see the road's 14 instead of 11, so you get wider travel lanes, so you can turn trucks.
Right, okay, and I know I'm trying to look into the future, but and we're required to have bike lanes.
So there's options on bike lanes. That's something that, when you say bike lane, it's really providing a bike facility of some kind, so that's something that can give and take. So there's things, for example, you don't necessarily just have to paint a 6-foot lane. There's cities and counties that have done. Klamath County is a good example where they say, and I'm not sure this is totally the intent of what people are trying to do, but they say we provide a wide shoulder for people to ride their bike down. There's things that you can do where you mark the road, that it's a term called a sharrow, where you can say bicycles and trucks or cars or whoever are intended to share this road, and you mark it as such so that bicycles are aware of how they're supposed to act and vehicles are aware of how bicycles are supposed to act. So there's ways to get around it besides saying just your traditional bicycle lane, and that's what that transportation planning toolbox I was talking about says. Bike lane is one thing, but then there's other options available. Any other questions on these? I know there's lots, so I'll definitely post these, and I'll make sure we get that distributed. I should have brought handouts, I'm sorry about, so you can go through these and mark them up and comment on them. You want to see where these all are now? We'll move forward. Mm-hmm. So, now we're talking about more about the vision is where do we apply these cross sections? How are the roads classified? Where are the priorities in the city to make these type of upgrades? We can't do the whole city at once. That's something that's obviously very expensive. So where are we going to focus these improvements? And then specific transportation problems, how can we use these roadways improvements to address them? So we'll go through that here. So this is a zoomed out map. We'll zoom in here so don't squint too much about the transportation system. And the colors indicate different types of roads. So as we zoom in, I'll call out what they are. But the highway here is red. That's, as I was saying, that's an ODOT facility, so that's outside of the city's classification. So green is an arterial. So that's what, that's the main, as I mentioned before, Burgess is an arterial. We're calling now Huntington Arterial. That was a collector previously in the county designation. That's obviously a main connection for Lapine, an important connection to get between the two parts of Lapine. This blue is a rural collector, so that's providing people getting to and from the arterials from their homes. And you can see that's also what's classified as drafter, and then red is the state highway system. Where you don't see any type of color designation, we're calling that a local street. So that would be something that would be that standard. Where the highlighting is here, that shows where, so that gray box around it, that's showing where there's a priority improvement. So you can see here we've highlighted Kegel, and we've called this out specifically in the plan. It's highlighted here, but really the priority with Kegel is to pave that so that people have an option, whether it be through Burgess or through Kegel Road, the people of the Kegel subdivision, to get on and off the system as reliably as possible. And obviously there's challenges associated with gravel roads, so making that a paved road is a priority, so we call that one out. Also, draft road is an important, I think, an important roadway in Lapine. We talked a little bit about the access issues on US 97. I was mentioning that and I saw a lot of head shaking in agreement. It seemed like that this area of Lapine, there's just a lot of access points. And there's really, from a city perspective, or an ODOT perspective, there's not a lot that you can do with it today besides forcing people to combine their access points, which can be challenging. So that's one thing that I think Drafter can help us with, and I'll explain why. The other thing that Drafter can help us with is, in the future, there's a plan here, and you guys are aware of it, the Wickiup Junction plan, about what happens with Burgess and US 87 in the future. And this is something that ODOT's been working on for a lot of time that we're referencing here in the transportation system plan. One thing that's identified there, which really not a great solution at the time, is what happens with the Roslyn Road intersection here. So we've really dealt with the west side of the highway. We know how people get on and off there, but you all know there's a lot that happens on the east side of the highway. Who knows what's going to happen there in the future? Obviously, there's endless possibility for how that happens. As this plan ultimately gets built, the Wickiup Junction plan, this is going to be a big structure that goes up as it goes south here to get up and over this railroad crossing. So any improvement that you can do at Roslyn Road becomes pretty difficult because just in terms of general principles, it's hard to put a signal or even any type of improvement that close to where the road goes up because it really is a lot for the driver to handle. There's potentially people coming down a grade. You don't necessarily want to stop them at the bottom. So challenges abound for how you would deal with Roslyn. So
The way we've addressed it is saying, if you improve Drafter, you make that a road that is usable, you upgrade it to a standard that promotes people getting along there, you could actually instead improve up here where we actually have room to do it, and in turn you can make this a road that accesses these businesses here so that you can deal with the access on US 97 and provide folks a viable alternative with what we would call a backage road. So it kind of, in our view, it's two birds with one stone in that you have a problem here with Roslyn, you can address it with Drafter, and then it could serve a double purpose if so chosen to address some of those access points along there. Any comments, questions, concerns?
I think you have a challenge there on Drafter because a lot of that is private property with homes.
Mm-hmm.
So considering it as a package road, as you said, that take a lot to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point and something that we should note for sure.
But you're right. That's a long term. But if you think you're going to have to get rid of all those driveways, you know, for long years. So one thing is the county, through taxes, acquired 2 acres back here. So, you know, part of where the wood sculpture is now moving south, a lot of the land behind it, which I didn't know this till last week, is actually the county owns. And so there's actually public ownership back to Drafter. The corner is not, but it already touches Drafter. So here you got this 2 acre piece here. I have already sent anything to ODOT. We're going to look at that, but that's pretty cheap, easy to get. They just got it for taxes. So you maybe could come in here and then you go this way and this way to access those lots. You may miss one here, so maybe someone someday has to buy out one of these lots, but they're fairly cheap in the big sense. Bottom line is Drafter, this, you get a left turn lane out here, so that becomes a nice left turn. And then you've got some of that. Start feeding people off the back. That's really the only, that's the easiest, cheapest. Okay. And right now most of that isn't developed and down at that end, and if it's developed, it's developed at different levels of development. You know, there's still room for some improvements there. You haven't built a Marriott yet.
So you're saying that Drafter comes down south of where Gordy's is at this point?
Gordy's is right here.
No, Gordy's is just right.
Yeah.
It's down here, yes.
Okay.
Am I rough? So it's above where Gordy's is.
Well, Roslyn comes where Gordy's.
But this is, so this is, I think you get off of Gordy's right here, correct?
No.
It's right after the highway,
right
Roslyn, 97, the highway.
Where Roslyn Road makes its first left turn, you turn right, you see the little road right there.
Oh, right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that little road there, and that goes right into Gordy's.
That's Gordy's where your light was.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, that's a long term, you know, what do we do with it as things happen over time? That's a good example of, as businesses are talking, as roads become, as properties become available, what are we working towards to ultimately?
Yeah, one thought I had is, since it's a city, you probably don't want to define that as a rural collector. You might want to call it a minor collector, something like that, because you're not rural anymore.
Well, yeah, it's really the rural designation is, you mean you just don't use the term rural?
Yeah, don't even use the term rural. I just call it minor or something else.
Yep, I agree with you.
Tiny collector.
Slightly different collector.
Slightly not. Junior collector.
Park somewhere else collector, maybe that's what I want. Because parking's the difference.
That cable piece there, you know, I mean, I really like that one, and you know, we talked about that quite a bit. That's probably, I think it's one of the priorities, probably one of the only pit roads that I could see the city in the next decade actually paving through grants and things. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, if you calculate, you basically cut everyone's gravel road travel in half or more. Because by using Cagle, doesn't matter if you're at the dead end on one of the little streets up north, or if you're halfway down, you can go down Burgess. If you're only a quarter mile down, you go down Burgess. You only go a quarter mile on gravel. Now, if we do this, you can go down Cagle, and if you come down to the south, you've really cut people's... That's why that road was chosen. It cuts them. Every single person in that subdivision now has reduced time on gravel roads. And so that you make it a little wider, you make it a little nicer. And that will help. This is how you get grants. See, when it gets onto the TSP, then we can go apply for grants. So That's why that's on there as a as one of the priorities.
You know, I also know that there's a, if you've been around Schedule, there's a great deal of traffic that collects out of those small streets and comes down to Wickiup Junction. Mm-hmm. Tremendous amount of traffic. So
they'll maybe follow paved roads when they got the option.
They may well.
I don't think they will, because Schedule is a major connection to Kegel. Period.
Yep, but I think people do.
I think you will find, if you do a traffic count on that, over 50% of your travel will go down Schedule. And they aren't going to cut out to Huntington and come all the way around to get to Wickiup. They're going to come down Schedule or one of the other side streets. But mainly Schedule. Schedule is the busiest road there. Yeah. So, I mean, Kegel is very busy, don't get me wrong. You know, by the way it looks great. But Schedule, you know, since I've been living back there, is a major...
Where do you live out?
Period.
What road do you live on?
Oak.
So you're saying that this may be a priority to pave in here?
Mm-hmm. If any place is a priority, you know, obviously Kegel is number one, but Schedule should be number two.
Okay.
Well, I'd go along with that if we put a second one in there.
Yeah, I'm not saying it has to be, but I'm saying that that is a priority. You know, it's something that should be looked at.
And the reason that obviously you do a cross street is if I live anywhere in here, I'm not driving up to come down that new paved road. I mean, it really does benefit Schedule people. Well, I'm not
no, all the northern
to,
routes
well,
take
you
that.
Know,
you're you talking know. About everybody up north up there.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about anybody on Antler will go back to Kegel and come back up Schedule. They do it now.
Yeah, I
don't
see
go
right
down.
To.
They don't.
What
down
you know? What?
Pine,
maybe we should. Maybe should we just take this off? If you're saying that people here are going to use gravel roads, me personally, I'm taking the paved road around myself. But
what I'm saying is, if I walk drive out of Oak Drive, I want to get to Wickiup. I am going to take a dirt road before I will go all the way around to out to Huntington, down to Burgess, go through a traffic light, and come all the way back.
So should we take Kegel off and not pave?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying make that the secondary paving area.
Okay.
I think
a secondary priority.
For safety reasons, that's the perfect. Because in the wintertime, your other streets are not going to be plowed as well as your paved road.
Mm-hmm.
Summertime, if you have to get out of there in a hurry, you're going to go to that paved road. So all your people, whether they're halfway on those other streets, are going to go to that paved road.
So all these other folks here.
Yeah.
The other thing is that we now have a school bus that is trying to get down there. They get down Kegel. But they would like to go down Schedule.
They come down to Pine Drive also.
It seems like you say the residents here are somewhat used to being the through route, because that's the other thing that you'd want to consider is that if you pave it, you're going to say, drive down this road, mm-hmm. and that's the people that live along there have to.
Well, it's if you drive down there and you happen to live there and or stand there for about an hour, see how much dust you're eating. I'm serious.
Should we add a second?
Very dusty road.
We can. Let's add a second.
I think it's probably appropriate as a local street. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
As opposed to upgrading it to a collector standard, so then we can just prioritize the paving of that aspect of it. Okay.
It's good for emergency services too, to have multiple choices.
That's true. That's a good point, Deborah.
And that, by the way, is the one road where the Sheriff's Department to get stuck on Schedule trying to get down there. So that was before they started plowing down there.
It's good they were chasing me that day, so it was good. So we mentioned the Wickiup Junction plan. Obviously, this is something I think you guys are all probably familiar with. We're just trying to reference that. That's something that's part of the transportation system.
What's that Wickiup Junction plan? At the bottom part there.
What do you mean here?
The new part. Now that's going over the railroad tracks, right?
Yep. This is going. Okay. This is the highway going over the railroad.
What about tracks. What about just before you get to Gordy's? Isn't there supposed to be another? No. Going over the railroad tracks up there?
No.
I don't think so. No, this is, so if you were going on Burgess and you wanted to get across the highway, the current plan is that you'd get onto the highway through here. These would be ramps on and off. And then
but
you get
the
to
track, the railroad tracks go off, the railroad tracks go from the southeast to the northwest. You still have to cross the railroad tracks just past Wickiup Junction.
No.
No, it's gonna be
the road will be on the east side of the railroad tracks. It won't go back on the west side. You just have the one bridge to get you over onto the east side. That's all you need to do. Because from then on, all the way into, you know, far north, is the railroad tracks is on the west side.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So, I guess before we leave, any other comments up here? So, moving down to the downtown area. The darker blue is the standard collector. The lighter blue is the lesser collector. So that's out over here. We'll go through some of what these are. Again, the green is arterial. The yellow area here is what we're calling the downtown arterial. So remember, we were talking about those different cross sections. This is where we're talking about applying them, is First Street over and then up and down Morrison and Huntington. And then the purple here is where we're talking about industrial collector, so serving the industrial area. So we're talking about before street connectivity. How do we get people around the city? How do we get people across the highway? So we have shown here the improvement at First and Reed. Obviously, that's something that's going on that is a good thing for the city. So looking at this from a system perspective, that was something that we tried to capitalize on. To really use this as Green Road, First Street Corridor as one east-west connection. As part of the Lapine US 97 Corridor Plan, there was another improvement identified right here at Findlay Butte and Morrison, so having Morrison realigned into Findlay Butte. So that's the second crossing of the highway, what we'd call an improved crossing, so that you'd actually have something other than just your own wits to get you across the highway, something like a traffic signal. So that's another east-west crossing. So the connection to those, we see, so if you kind of made this a box, these two are two parts of the box, this is a good continuous system to get people around the highway system, around the city. You have options to get north and south, and you have options to get east and west, not just from a vehicle standpoint, but also a pedestrian standpoint. These are places that you can get connected. We'll show a little bit later, I think there's some need to get some other pedestrian crossings in the middle here, and that's something that actually the Pine had a STIP application, which is a state transportation improvement project application in for, is to fund some of these type of improvements. So hopefully that's something that we'll show on the map is done in the near future, but definitely a need. So that's what I'm trying to highlight here, is that's the idea, is that we get people with this connection and then this connection, let's the roadway improvements would capitalize on that. So you can see again with this highlighting here where we have these gray bounds, is let's prioritize those type of improvements to make that happen so that we at least have this backbone structure of roads in Lapine to get people around. So we're not just building haphazardly, but let's build towards this ultimate ring road. So looking at the downtown area, from what we've heard from talking to people is that improvements to Huntington would be a priority over improvements to Morrison. Both are something that we'd like to happen, but if we're going in order, that would be what we do first. That's something that seems like you guys are all shaking your head, but that's something that is an assumption we've made, so that's why we've highlighted the Huntington Corridor. And then we've talked about the industrial area, so serving that with industrial type roads. That's another area of this that we're obviously is a big thing happening in Lapine, so getting people to and from this. We'll show what we are talking about in terms of a freight route, but these improvements here support getting people in and out of that industrial area, so that's another benefit.
Matt, one thing, one of the things we heard in the development of the comprehensive plan is that the city needed an urban core,
mm-hmm.
and this starts to help support the development of a key downtown area,
yep.
other than the traveling public service route, which is everything along the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So we start seeing that you've got walkability, you've got more of a village atmosphere, something that this will support, as well as addressing the traveling public's need that, through the highway.
That's a great point, Deborah. Yeah, that's exactly the vision with the downtown arterial. We can talk about what it means, but I think it's important on that to just say this is different. This is an area that's the downtown part of Lapine. This is where we see our community center being. And this is obviously would be intentionally a much different environment than US 97 is today. Something that the community can gather in and get their daily needs in. So that's an important point. Thanks, Deborah. So then obviously then there's the downtown area, there's the industrial area.
What about the 6th Street, the ODOT plan for 6th Street to connect into Finley Butte straight across?
So Finley, 6th Street is a challenging one. That's it. You have good timing because this is what I've highlighted right now. So another kind of, just like Roslyn was an outstanding issue, 6th Street's kind of an outstanding issue because in terms of the downtown area, we looked at what improvement here and improvement here. That really serves the downtown area pretty well. 6th Street is kind of left here out on its own a little bit. The connection across Finley Butte is probably a nearly impossible one just because of the marshy environment that exists out there between this area. So making an improvement down here is probably not something that will be very feasible at 6th Street in US 97. So the way we've tried to address that is by showing this corridor here from 6th Street up over to 3rd Street as another way to get into downtown Lapine from folks that would otherwise be coming in 6th Street. So that provides them an opportunity, besides short of just making improvement here just so people can come up to downtown, let's just get them to downtown and save them a trip on the highway. I think it helps provide some of that character for Lapine. It takes advantage of an existing route through a difficult area to build in and spare ourselves having to focus on finding funding in Lapine to make another improvement to the highway. Let's focus on finding funding in Lapine to help the character of Lapine and get people into the part of town that we care about. So that's an answer, at least our answer, to what is going on in 6th Street. That's something I'm curious your guys' thoughts about that.
But didn't ODOT already commit to doing that change on 6th Street in the Butte? I thought that was in their long-term plan to do that.
I don't believe so.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a difficult. It's a very difficult area to build in. It's probably something that you won't see a whole lot of development in, period, because it's just.
So you won't see any development out there.
Yeah. And so Finley Butte, the idea is to tee up Morrison with it. So the other side of Finley Butte would be Morrison.
There was a question.
I thought it was Huntington.
Yeah.
I recall there was some discussion about reactivating 2nd Street.
Across?
From Huntington to Morrison.
Yeah, there was talk about that. That was something that that Steve was really big on, was that connection. Through discussions in the last couple weeks, it's something that the collective group was not as high on prioritizing. That's something, though, that is not set in stone, so it doesn't show up on the map as such right now. I thought there was some other issue with 2nd Street, too. I can't remember.
Is that the one that goes in the middle of the park?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
why would you want that open as a street?
Well, it provides an alternate access to Morrison and that area back behind it, to the west.
I mean, it's nice to have kind of two block type sections without a road through it if you really, you're creating a downtown where things are supposed to be slower, nicer, and kind of that downtown type.
Well, you also have some private property in there that that really doesn't have access other than by using the old 2nd Street. There's a half acre there's a piece that extends across that old 2nd Street, which is part of the land transfer, but the rest of it is actually private owned, which I don't know if it's commercial or what, but unless it's got some kind of access. And the county, just as a, I think it was more of a favor to the community to put that curb, or put that, when they came through there doing the sidewalks, they put that little access, instead of having a curb, because they could have put a curb there.
Right.
And they, this plan doesn't preclude the extension of local streets.
Yeah.
So you may see local streets serve that property as needed. So they won't necessarily show up on this plan, but if somebody needs an access and there's a logical extension that makes sense, then a local street would serve that.
You know, it could be it's a little curb, that's something. Because it doesn't go east and west from there.
Yeah. And that's the answer I was waiting to hear.
You know, because who knows what that'll all be when you kind of do all of that.
For the master plan.
Mm-hmm. And I think at one time Recreation and Steve or something were talking about possibly purchasing that and using part of it like they do now parking, because it is so limited within the area. And that was, I think they were just talking about that.
Yeah, and that would be something that we would not typically show up on this plan, because it's more of a how do we get people through places, not, you know, that recreational aspect to it.
They did talk about, I think it came up in our meetings anyway, doing this, get rid of two curbs.
Uh-huh.
So you can get rid of those two.
Yeah.
So ever, you know, it's just one block. So if you want to use this, go ahead and sometime maybe extend that, then you don't have all the curbs.
That's something that we've debated showing on here. There's two camps on it. It's one, utilize the existing road. You already got it, so use it. The other thought is, well, if you're going to improve it, why don't you make it as good as possible? So that's one of those things that we wouldn't necessarily preclude one or the other, but at the time that decision was made, that was something that we're trying to call out as an option.
Well, and you know, that first it looked kind of strange. It'll be another road maintenance for the city, because it's going to be used a lot more. Your Walker Street and that area. It'll become high maintenance because of the population that's out 6th Street.
Mm-hmm.
But when the land transfer is complete, you'll have a safer flow through 3rd Street, Walker Street, than everyone trying to come out of 6th Street after events.
Yep.
You'll have them directed back down to the traffic light at 1st Street.
Right. And that's a real plus of this. Really the easiest solution to dealing with traffic demand is making it less demand. So if you funnel everyone right here, then sure, you're going to have to make an improvement. But if you can spread it, and people can still come up here and go right, that's an easy movement. If they want to go left, then focus your attention here and then use that.
A great example is sit out there on the 4th of July after the fireworks.
Yeah.
And try to watch people get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was thinking. Where is the rodeo property in conjunction? Because that probably is going to really increase traffic in that area if we're using it a lot more.
It's off the map to the left here, right?
Okay, so that really wouldn't affect that.
Yeah, and it's so the events are a difficult thing. It's
well, but it won't be an everyday occurrence.
Right. So
yeah,
what do you what do you plan your system for? Is it do you approve this for the event, or do you hire a flagger to do something, and then maybe that's an easier solution so you're not spending resources on solving a 3-day-a-year problem versus something that might really leads me to something else that I forgot to mention, is an everyday problem like getting kids to school, and that's something I want to show that we have prioritized, is this roadway system up here near the school. We highlight it here, and this is an important distinction on how we've really laid this plan out, is sometimes you'll see plans where they say, here on this road, you're going to need a left turn lane, so plan on building a left turn lane here. Or here on this road, you're going to need a sidewalk, so plan on building a sidewalk here. The way we've tried to do it is say, you know, in Alpine, we know we have certain needs, but at the same time, we don't know necessarily everything that's going to happen. So when we build towards this, so we're not necessarily calling out specific, this is a turn lane, this is a sidewalk, this is a bike lane priority. We're saying, here's the cross-section of road that we're building towards. We know nothing's built to standard yet. So prioritize improvements to that facility. And maybe the improvement here is just adding sidewalks so that you focus on the kids' connection. But we're trying to make it flexible enough that we're not so prescriptive that it's paralyzing, that you have to kind of go in order. It's understanding that there's some variability in the system and what really the priorities are. So. But definitely the school area is a priority, because that's something that gets used quite a bit. I talked already about the Finley Butte Morrison improvement. Something that came up in the corridor plan, which was not addressed specifically because it was a local street problem, is the Huntington Road alignment with Finley Butte. As you all know, that's very close to the US 97 connection today. So whenever something happens here, that connection is going to be a problem, because it might be a problem even if nothing ever happens, because as vehicles back up waiting to get onto US 97 or get across US 97, whatever the situation is in the future, getting off of Huntington onto Finley Butte is going to become more challenging. So we talked a lot about what are the options with this facility, and we came up with some extravagant ideas about realigning it way south of town, things like that. But I think really the most feasible, practical solution is to, when this improvement is done, deal with the Huntington Road alignment and probably just try to move it as far as you can to the east to create some spacing. And you probably don't need a bunch, but just enough to get people behind the queue so that they can get out, make it safe, so that people all, the other idea is when people are turning off US 97, there's another vehicle right there trying to get on or off. It's just providing that space necessary to let people make safe decisions and safe movements. So that's something that we've tried to identify in the plan also. The other intersection improvement need is, we talked about this kind of north-south connection, which in this case is Hinkle Way on the east side of town. Right now, right at William Foss Road, those are offset intersections, so mm-hmm. if you're going up, they don't line up. So if you really were talking about this ring road here where you can get people around, making an improvement to that is something that would be a good thing to happen. It makes it more of a reliable north-south route. It makes the traffic flow a little bit better, even from a bicycle pedestrian connection, providing that option. So that's another thing that we've outlined. Anything else downtown area that you have questions about, or something that is a priority that you think we've missed?
Let me ask, the highlighted ring, mm-hmm. parts of the ring, say again why Morrison's not highlighted?
Because if the way we understood it with talking to people, that if you're improving kind of this downtown area, the first thing that would be a priority to improve to really meet that downtown community core would be the Huntington corridor, and then Morrison would go second. So if you're investing resources near term, focus them all on one corridor to make it as well done as possible, and then when you're done with that, move on to Morrison. So TSPs, we're talking about a 20-year plan, so this is more, you know, in the near part of that 20 years, where do you focus long term, where you're going, but up front, consolidate your efforts so you're not trying to build everything at once. That's the idea there.
Okay.
You know, I think what it says is that Morrison and Huntington are both downtown. Right. If you look out, if I own land on either one of those, they're going to be commercial. There'll be houses that convert and all of that stuff, but you don't do them both at once, so obviously Huntington is first because it's already developed. Mm-hmm. And then Morrison would be next. But why it's important is when you're doing building permits and things over on Morrison, so somebody comes along and wants to plot something right here. If I was looking at it, I'd go look at this plan and say, I want to allow a few more feet because they may come want 10 feet of this side because we're going to build this nice wider street. You don't go build it based off that little narrow street you got now. Mm-hmm. That's what's good about it. So if someone's going to develop, I'd lay this plan out and then figure about the widths that are going to be there, then you shove your building back appropriately. You just put some landscaping in there that doesn't cost much to, if it doesn't hurt your building or your entrances if you take it out. So it does have an effect in the planning side of things, doesn't it, Deborah? I mean, you look at it.
And the template that Matt showed as the ultimate plan for each type of street, you can add up those footages to get the right-of-way distance that the street needs to be, and usually cut that in half, and then properties along that half either need to participate if they can. Sometimes there's impediments you just can't deal with, and that's why we need the flexibility. But for the most part, when development comes in, it's an opportunity to say, let's have you move this back this far so that when the street is finally done, we have the right-of-way, it's all conducive.
And you move your sidewalk, everything back, kind of allowing you for that.
So the last thing I'll mention on this future connection. Again, we mentioned we don't know exactly where it's going to happen, but it's something that we thought was important enough to say that just like Huntington, there's value for the city to have a similar connection on the east side of town. When that gets built, maybe it's a ways in the future, but just part of what we're trying to do with the transportation system is to have some type of connection like that available. This is also something that includes our, thought we'd be able to see this a little bit better, but just safety improvement areas. So if you're going to focus on improvements, this is related to this analysis that I was talking about before, where we saw high occurrence of crashes. Really what this is saying is that on Huntington, let's work on creating some shoulders and clear areas, so providing people some opportunity to recover on Huntington as opposed to just immediately running off the road if for whatever reason they lose control of their car or have to avoid something. We just saw where I was in Bend, four bucks walking through town today, and that certainly happens out here, or maybe they're running from a forest fire out there. That happens recently here too. So, also, I mentioned the connections across US 97, really from a pedestrian standpoint. As I mentioned, that's something the city has an application in for, which is doing quite well, I might add, in terms of the regional priorities. Providing money to create connections across the highway, so we're not just dealing with vehicles getting across, but also noting that pedestrians want to get across. That was a big part of the US 97 First Street project, is seeing the school kids. We have some pretty scary video of kids running to McDonald's right in front of big trucks, so acknowledging that that's something that needs to happen in the transportation system as well is important. Another thing we've called out is really the transition areas, and this is starting to be addressed right now, is reminding people that they're coming into a city when they're going along US 97. So there's treatments that are associated with that, and that stuff that's called out in the corridor plan. Just helping people to slow down and finding ways to remind them of that and making them aware that they're coming into an urban area after driving from long stretches on rural sections, both north and south of town. And also, you know, just things like railroad crossings on the east side of town, things like that. So this is just a reminder of really what we're, things we can do to try to make the system safer. Yeah.
Just one other thing on Burgess, sir. There is also a school there now.
Oh, yeah, right here, right? We have it.
Yeah.
We have it on there.
No real signs there saying anything about it. No.
Just let people know that's there.
In the plans
school
in the future.
And that sort of thing. School crossings, school buses, school whatever.
Well, there's not even a lane to turn left there. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, that's a good one. Thank you.
And eventually, you know, you would want to probably put in pedestrian crossings because there are a lot of kids over there in the Cakeville area.
Yeah,
right.
Walk to school on the east
they aren't
the west
allowed
side
to walk there now. But
they're not allowed to walk there, you said?
No, the principal where are you kidding me? Trying to cross that road?
Huh. Yeah, but that's the double-edged sword a little bit because I always did what I was told when I was a kid, right? Would walk to where I wasn't supposed to walk, so it's providing for people being safe even when they're not necessarily doing what they're supposed to do is an important thing.
That's a big, I mean, we looked at that. The city did, met with the principals out there. I mean, there's been actually a lot of discussion on it. The county was involved.
I'm sure there has.
Right now what they're saying is, hey, they bus in 100% of them, and they said if we put a crosswalk in, they were still going to bus 100% in. So then the other thing was, I think that this was the former county public works guy and everything, but you get them across the crosswalk, and if you look where the school is, again, you just dump them in, because you have a county road with a fog line and then a borrow pit. So I got him across. Now he's wandering around down in the borrow pit. I mean, where's he going? You know, and so it was kind of... and the other thing, you know, you get into the crosswalks, and I don't know if some of you other guys here that we talked about, if you just paint a crosswalk, you know, a kid especially, they will almost blindly walk across.
Right. Yeah.
Because they think, oh, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And then they're plowed over.
Right.
If there's no crosswalk, even a younger age, he's more likely to be looking to see if they can go across. So there was, it was interesting. I learned a ton listening to the folks. And ODOT came, he's in the back of the room now, and you listen to these folks and you say, and I remember telling the school, you want to sign off on that in the city, you know, we can go paint white lines out there.
No, I was thinking mainly about just notifying drivers. A lot of people don't know, especially people who aren't familiar with the area. It's going out Burgess.
But there's no crossing.
There's a school there.
No, you don't have to slow down.
Just slow the car down.
No, slow down. Isn't it a 20 mile an hour?
Well, that's if there's a crossing.
They don't have any signs.
But that's if there's a crossing. You don't put 20 miles an hour just in front of a school. It has to be a crossing.
Oh, okay.
Well, we spent numerous meetings. We met at the school. We had 12 of them. All we had this Ben Lepine man that runs all this for the whole district came down, and so it actually has been worked on.
I remember I didn't meet the administrative rules for schools on the year.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's your part.
There is a great deal of vetting that went into that, and it at that time I remember that it was become very logical that it's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. When we're talking about crossings, Rick's right about, and it's something just to keep in mind, is that crossings sometimes are a little bit of a crutch, where you say we'll provide a crossing and it's safer, but it's that security when you shouldn't have security,
right. Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't just going to stop because there's white lines painted on the ground. Yeah.
So in the downtown corridor on 97, when we do paint crosswalks there, is there going to be like signals or flashing?
The idea right now,
some kind of warning that people, because I know I've narrowly missed people running across to graze from the trailer park on the other side at night. They don't know what they're doing or what. But
so it's there's Lepine's a good example of kind of the evolution of thinking on this right now. And first off, you have First and Finley Butte where there's nothing. People just run across, and the idea is that ultimately the traffic signal that's being planned at First and Reed provides people an opportunity to get safely across when it's their turn to cross. Same as at Finley Butte. Right now at 4th Street, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, there's that flashing beacon, and those are for a long time were the answer. We could put this beacon up and we'll tell people that people are crossing. The problem is that if I'm driving, that beacon looks the same to me every day if someone's standing there or not, and oftentimes probably someone's not standing there. So I just think to myself, there's a flashing beacon. You just block it out as a driver. You see it all the time. It's nothing different. It's not catching your attention. People thought, this flashing might catch people's attention, but over time, years go by, it probably doesn't. So the idea with these on US 97 is really to do something more like I'm sure you guys have at least seen in Bend now. So what those are is they're called. The technical term is rapid rectangular flashing beacon. The layman's term is lights that flash really fast. And what they do is when you push the button, there's a reaction so that you know people are there. So as a driver, you go by and you see nothing, and you get used to nothing, nothing, nothing. And then the difference is then you see a pedestrian-activated signal that provides people down the road some knowledge that something's happening or somebody wants to cross. And studies have been done on those that find that they're very effective in getting people to stop and respond to them. So that's the idea.
So you should get three of those. I mean, well, one's going to have a signal now, then the other two.
Yeah.
At some point, you get those.
Yeah.
And that's really the solution.
And they're actually relatively cost effective in the big scheme of things.
They're a lot cheaper than light.
They're a lot cheaper than light. They run on solar power because they have to store up for flashes, things like that. So they're actually... they're getting a lot more use. There's something that people are still talking about, but they've just been shown to be pretty effective, and I think you'll like it more than that flashing beacon you got out there right now.
If there's somebody standing there that wants to cross, is it law that you're supposed to stop?
Yeah.
They just dumb.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is that it's the law whether there's a crosswalk there or not, so technically you're not providing someone an opportunity that they don't already have, but the crosswalk might help, or it might give them, might give them some confidence when they shouldn't have it.
Sting operation over there where the crosswalk is with traffic light, and both ways they have a cop at this end, a cop at the other end, and they just tell them, pull this car over, pull this car over. And it's slowed a lot of people down and made them stop.
Yep.
They need to do it every so often just to remind people.
They run one of those events today, actually.
Yeah, they were.
Yep. But man, I just don't know how you guys get that police officer to sit on the north side of town all tied like he's always there.
The other thing is, I was going to go back to the school on Burgess.
Sure.
Why can't you put lights on Burgess like you do on 97?
Well, you're in school hours, street lights.
In the morning, you got flashy lights in the morning, 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, but that's
and in the afternoon when they're schooling out.
So what Peter was saying, I wasn't familiar with that city, but it sounded like Peter was saying, and I know this to be true, is that there's requirements on where those are and where those aren't.
Yeah.
And Burgess doesn't meet the requirements of where those are.
They probably didn't at the time, but it's a school there now.
No, the school's in the wrong place. It's, I can't remember what the OAR exactly, but it's got to be like right on the road. There has to be. It didn't meet what the OAR says for the school zone. So that's why we didn't put it there.
I'd like to call 5 minutes. So okay. We'll take a break.
It's a bathroom break, and there's food back there, snacks.